You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
That was the weakest clap I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, me too.
It's because you weren't looking at your elbows. Wait, no, that's high fives.
Imagine to, like, clap your hands, you had to look at your elbows, or, like, you'd, like, miss.
Yeah. What is a clap but a high five with yourself?
I mean, you're right. But then that's even funnier to think about, because then if you're, like, applauding someone, you're, like, giving yourself a lot of micro high fives for something you didn't do.
Well, what are you going to do? Go up to them and high-five them? No, it's COVID.
I look forward to the return of high-fives.
I could take them or leave them.
That's fair.
Fist bumps, I feel like, haven't been outlawed as strongly because, like, it's not the palm of your hand, so it's touching things less. But maybe they should be because you're not sanitizing them.
Maybe. I also, like, have never been a fan of the elbow bump. I always thought it was bad. I didn't like it.
I just miss a novelty fist bump, like when you pretend to beat the snail or the turkey.
Or you just...
Like when you put your hand out.
Are you talking about like when you just grab someone's hand when they're like doing it?
Yeah.
I love that.
Or when you stick your two fingers out and you go under their fist so you pretend to be a snail. You say snail. And then they look very shocked. It always gets people off guard. That's how I make an impression that I'm not like other thems.
Do they say you're different?
They say I'm different.
God. You set me up for that one.
I set myself up. Congratulations. I set myself up. Welcome to Music is Good.
Yeah, Welcome to Music is Good. We're a bit late on this episode because I was on vacation and then we somehow entered the 9th level of hell for the last week, weather-wise.
Yeah. It happens.
It was literally the hottest place on Earth where we live.
It's because they were simulating where all the gays go. It's the end of Pride Month. Gotta remind them.
Oh my god.
I was really threatening to, like, write a political letter, like, you know, to whoever makes poor decisions about climate change, I'm just going to write a letter, but it's in my Hank Hill voice, and it just says, if it gets even 1 degree hotter out here, I'm going to kick your ass.
What if we all did that? I think we should just make a template, and we should all send it.
Just all print out that screen cap from King of the Hill, and just mail it off.
Just send it right to the NDP in Victoria. Just, if it gets 1 degree hotter, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
But, like... God, the sun sucks.
It's kind of tragic because you just know every summer in the future is just going to get worse and worse unless Jeff Bezos gives up a few billion dollars. It's like they estimate like $30 billion could end the climate crisis, and Jeff Bezos is set to become a trillionaire. So, you know.
You'd still have billions of dollars. You'd still have billions of dollars.
Literally, yeah. No.
When Death Grip said, "F the sun, daylight sucks."
Yeah, I really feel that right now. I'm Devlin Galloway. Today I am joined by my two best friends.
Aw, thank you.
I'm Tuesday Ferguson.
I'm Annie Negrin.
And what are we talking about today, Annie? It was your pick.
This is my pick. We haven't done a funk record yet. And I was talking to my partner about his favorite funk records, and he was mostly just talking about P-Funk stuff, but we came to the conclusion that They Say I'm Different by Bette Davis was one of the best funk records ever written. So I was like, well, there we have it. That's my record for this week. So
there we have it. That's a correct statement.
No, there we have it.
I need to ask a quick question. What is P-Funk?
Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go.
I was like, they're a different genre of funk?
No, what no. Well, I mean, it's like, it is technically, but it's like a specific genre of funk that belongs to Parliament Funkadelic. Like, it's their own brand of funk.
See, my brain went, it's like, when you slap a bass so good, you pee a little.
Yeah. It's when you eat asparagus and then your pee gets a little funky.
Yeah. get a little nasty.
It's more sour, like funky.
That bass line is straight asparagus pee funky. Asparagus is the funkiest fruit. It's not a fruit. It's a vegetable? It's a vegetable.
A I don't fruit? Know. You know about plants. You
it's know, a veggie.
Yeah. I was gonna say, Devlin's the plants master, so.
You know what bothers me is that a main character in VeggieTales is a tomato. Like, I hate that.
I haven't ever thought about that, but you're right. Come on.
What about the asparagus guy, though?
Is there an asparagus guy?
Oh, there is an asparagus guy.
Yeah, there is an asparagus guy.
I literally only care about Larry the Cucumber and his silly songs. Let's review silly songs with Larry on the pod.
I'll add that to the list.
Okay, thank you. To my spreadsheet.
I really gotta update the spreadsheet.
Get in there.
So, listening to this album, I have to say, this might be the horniest album we've ever listened to.
It's pretty horny, yeah.
It's really horny for 1974.
Yeah.
But, like, I love that for her, you know? Mm-hmm.
Interesting character, because a woman owning her own sexuality in 1974 is super controversial. Like, she got banned from TV, she got banned from radio, whereas, you know, you had, like, big rock star names, you know, in 1974 singing about sex, like, male rock stars, and nobody gave a shit, and that got played on the radio. So, especially a black woman owning her own sexuality in 1974 is... huge power move.
Oh, huge, huge. Like
super
I,
cool, yeah.
I was just gonna say, like, whenever, like, boomer dad rock fans get threatened about, like, black women owning their sexuality, whether it's Betty Davis or, you know, like, Megan Thee Stallion, I just want to yell, "The Lemon Song!" in their faces and then stop talking. The Lemon Song!
That fascinates me, because, like, these are the same dudes who are like, "Oh, I hate rap because it's offensive and objectifies women." Yet they're still out here listening to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
It sounds like you just got some racism.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Anytime, even when I was a kid, when someone said that kind of stuff, it was always just kind of like, that doesn't sit right with me. No. I think there's something else going on there.
No, yeah, it is. It's a little bit complicated, for sure.
A bit sussy. So yeah. They're being sussy bacas.
Little sussy yeah. Baca. That was a horrible joke and a horrible meme reference. I'm so sorry. I'm honestly coming into this with not enough research. I did some, and then I totally forgot to write it down, and I don't remember anything besides the basic knowledge that I do have of Betty Davis. She was married to, she was married to Miles Davis briefly. I don't know how long they were together for.
Only about a year, yeah.
Here, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So, yeah, she met him when he was, in the late 60s when she was modeling, because absolutely gorgeous woman, not to objectify, but he was like 20 years older than her, but they got married for a while, and that's why her name is Betty Davis. She just kept the name for quite a while there, and it's an interesting one, because she kind of accused him of being a horrible husband, which, yeah, not surprised, especially considering that power dynamic of being 20 years older. It's an interesting relationship to me. I was doing a bit of reading about it, and I was just like, huh. Like, this stumps me a little bit.
Yeah, like, I looked into it a little bit, and I read some passages from... Miles Davis's autobiography.
Yeah.
And Miles kind of sucked at that period of time.
He really did, yeah.
Miles, in his autobiography, said that Betty was too young and wild and was really fixated on the idea that she was having an affair with Jimi Hendrix, which was so bad, it's probably what led to the end of their marriage a year later. And Betty later said afterwards, it was published, saying, "I was so angry at Miles when he wrote that. It was disrespectful to Jimmy and me. Miles and I broke up because of his violent temper," quotation marks.
And like, I'm just going to say I kind of believe her.
I think it's interesting that, like, I thought the young and wild comment was interesting because it's like, if you date someone 20 years younger than you, they might have less life experience.
No, exactly.
And might want to do different things.
They might be younger and might want to do young people things. Like,
you might have fewer things in common.
Yeah. I think, yeah, obviously kind of a problematic relationship. I also found it kind of interesting that, like, his thing was, like, oh, yeah, she's, like, I just didn't relate to her, so, like, she was too much of a partier, and then she cheated on me. And then in comparison, he was, like, yeah, she was, like, he beat me. So it's, like, that balance there is, like, yeah, she cheated on him, that's shitty of her, but, like, also, like,
but she didn't.
She didn't really, and it was, like, abuse. It's a little bit uncomfortable to read about, that's for sure, so, like, trigger warning on that one.
I think it's just also interesting that, like, even after all that, like, even with them being married for, like, a year, like, still when people are introducing her, it's being like, have you heard of Betty Davis? She was married to Miles. And it's just,
yeah.
What if you didn't define women by the men they were married to for 1 year?
It's kind of unfortunate that's how the way it goes, because I would say that Betty is equally as talented as Miles, for sure.
Miles himself actually told Jet Magazine after the divorce that it was obtained on a, quotation marks, temperament charge, which I'm assuming has to do with him having anger issues.
Yeah.
And then saying after that, I'm just not the kind of cat to be married.
Yeah, sounds like you were abusing cocaine.
In that, I have to put quotations around everything because of libel and all that. But while I was watching Tours from the Tour Bus about this,
Tales from the Tour Bus is a very good series. Like, definitely if you're into, like, a lot of it is, like, funk music and stuff like that, absolutely worth giving a watch. Most of it's on YouTube.
But, yeah, there's a story in there about some, like, a journalist showing up to Miles' house, and he had, like, a pile of cocaine in front of him and a gun on the couch next to him, and didn't know who this guy was, and they chased him out with the gun. So, I think Miles was having a rough time.
That's like an Al Pacino moment. That's like a, like, Scarface moment happening. Like, that's a little bit much.
Because I want to focus more on Betty in this episode, the last thing and fact I will say about their relationship is that Miles Davis's record, Bitches Brew, was originally titled Witches Brew and was definitely supposed to be about Betty, but Betty actually asked him to change the name, which he then changed it to Bitches Brew. So
she was like, At least write me a better diss track. A diss track.
Yeah.
I mean, same.
If you're gonna write me a diss track, you better be good about it. Like, write me a good diss track.
But to be fair, as much praise as that album gets, I'm more of a Kind of Blue person. I don't like Bitches Brew that much. Anyway, that's a different episode.
That's a good take, actually.
Thank you. I thought long and hard about it over the years. But yeah, I hadn't heard this album before, and coming into it, I was, like, floored by how good it is.
It's an amazing record. It's nonstop banger after banger. there's not a bad song on the record.
And the thing that, like, surprises me the most is, like, how minimalist it is. Like, a lot of the songs are just bass, drums, and, like, very, very small guitar chops.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, super minimalist for funk because, you know, a lot of the funk bands of the time had like 10 members.
This is just a four minimalist piece.
Yeah.
I feel like that's part of what makes it good, because, like, it just doesn't take away from her energy in the vocals, right?
Like, no, like, she owns the stage, and she deserves to own the stage, yeah.
It's kind of got live performance energy in that sense.
Oh, yeah, like, it definitely feels like being at a show, especially how raw and different her voice is.
She's got such a unique voice. It's so cool, dude.
It's incredible. Like, so incredibly good. And just to continue my point from before, I'm reading the lyrics to He Was a Big Freak.
Very good song.
It has to be one of the horniest songs I've ever listened to. Like, not just even the album, like, this song in particular. Like, beats that... Like, beats that one Prince song we said was the horniest one by, like, a mile.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because it came before Prince. Again, like, you think about how controversial Prince was in the 80s, and it's like, well, take a stab at Bette Davis in the 70s. Like, that is hugely controversial. Plus, she dressed very sexual. Like, if you take, like, she's got some really iconic outfits if you give it a Google. Worth Googling her appearance because just gorgeous woman, but with such an iconic look. She owned the sexuality too, which is kind of terrifying. Like, it's scary how hot she is.
If you made Tipper Gore listen to this album, she would crumble into dust immediately.
Yeah.
I also enjoy just looking at the lyrics for He Was a Big Freak again. That chorus too is just, he was a big freak, flim flam floozy fantasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, like, musically, Betty's voice was doing the legwork of that band. Everything else was just a compliment.
Yeah, even if you Google photos of her, unfortunately a good half of them are just, like, of her and Miles. There's a New Yorker article here about Bette Davis, and it's got a whole bunch of, not that I'm saying the New Yorker is worth my time, but it's got a whole bunch of, like, modern funk artists talking about her influence, which is kind of cool. Bringing up the Pointer Sisters and, like, Janelle Monáe and stuff like that, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's also a song on the record where Betty's just calling out her idols. Like, I think, I can't remember which one song it is.
I think it actually is They Say I'm Different.
Yeah, I think, I was just looking at those lyrics and I don't. Oh yeah, it is They Say I'm Different. Like, the last verse is, I'm talking about Big Mama Thornton, Lightning Hopkins, Howling Wolf, Albert King, Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, because that song in particular, like, she's discussing how she grew up and, like, who influenced her because of her, like, what her grandparents and, like, her parents were listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was, it's kind of a unique song in that aspect. There's not a lot of songs that I can think of where they're just blatantly stating, these are the people who influenced me in the lyrics. Like, there's that one, La Tigra song that I can think of, but that's about it. Yeah.
She was like, I'm not going to save that for the liner notes. You deserve better than that.
I'm just going to tell you.
I'm telling you right now so that you can't skip over it.
I'm going to scream that I listened to Bo Diddley into this microphone.
Yeah.
And you're going to listen. You're going to listen to Bo Diddley.
And, like, almost 50 years later, we are still listening. Like, this album is almost 50 years old.
Time keeps a rolling.
I know.
Crazy. Actually, but right before you joined the chat, I was saying that it looks like Bette Davis is actually active again.
Yeah.
On the Wikipedia article, it says years active 1960s to 1979, bracket 2019 to present.
Yeah.
Which is like at age 75, still rocking.
Yeah, I heard that. I'd like to go and see her if I can before she passes on. Which she could live.
She will live forever.
She's gonna live for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she's still rocking at 75, like, If she's still owning her sex, if she's still horny at 75, she's gonna go a while. Like, if you're a horny elderly person, you're probably gonna live a while longer.
It's but good like, cardio.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's probably some of the best cardio. It's like a full body workout.
Yeah,
literally. No, it's perfect cardio.
I also think that if you have the funk in you, you will live forever.
Yeah, no, just her music.
Sounds like that bit from the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to, like, say the Mighty Boosh joke. I'm trying really hard.
Funky ball of tits from outer space. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you. Someone had to say it. Just these lyrics, oh my god. But...
yeah, unfortunately, they're really kind of hard to repeat on...
yeah, I was gonna say, am I allowed to say
we can bleep that. I mean, we can read them out now and just cut them later.
Yeah.
The radio cut, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it haven't stopped us before. We've said so many things at this point. It's like, why are we even concerned?
Do you know how many instances of the word I had to censor? with the wee sound effect.
I did listen to it. There were a lot of wees.
Did you like it?
It was good, thank you. It's very good.
I'll let you know where I sampled that particular sound effect from later.
Please do. Reading He Was a Big Freak, not to bring up Miles again, but it makes me think about Miles in this
context.
Oh,
yeah.
It's very, very funny to me.
That's what I love. You know, if we're gonna talk about people who have famous ex-partners...
mm-hmm.
Like, at least, like, the horny songs, you can leave up to interpretation, right? And you can just be like,
yeah.
Well, this album came out a year after they divorced?
No, it was almost 6 years.
6 years? What year did they divorce?
They got married in 1968, and they got divorced in 1969.
Oh, okay. And this album came out in 74.
Yeah.
So 5 years. Yeah. Okay, interesting. So maybe it wasn't about him necessarily, but...
it, maybe not. There's also a lot of rumors that I think stem from that whole thing, saying that she did in fact date Jimi Hendrix, but I have not read or heard anywhere except people saying it in passing that she dated Jimi Hendrix. So
it's just, I feel like because Miles Davis is such an icon, it's like there's lots of rumors flying around about him, and they're like endless and relentless, and so it's kind of hard
people
to
want
tell.
To believe
it's yeah and it's kind of hard to tell truth from fiction, I guess.
Like,
yeah.
It makes a good story that, like, you know, they broke up and then she just, like, told all these horny stories about him on her album.
Which,
like, that's
funny.
A good story. Like, I can see why people want to believe that.
Yeah, no, I could see people wanting to believe that too. And this was her first album, correct?
Nope.
No?
It was her third.
Her third album. Oh, okay, I am wrong. So her first one was Betty Davis. So this was her second.
Her first one was Betty Davis. No,
yeah,
wait, you're right, you're right, you're right. It's second, it's
second. Yeah.
Hello, we are a podcast. We are prepared.
Yeah. Prepared.
We research and we read words on the screen.
And then our brains get melted by heat waves.
Her third album, Nasty Gal, is also very good. The trilogy of those first three albums are like...
the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think she had many albums after that, did she?
Let's see.
Like, it was just three, and then she stopped being active in the late 70s.
After Nasty Gal, she had three more, but they were archival, I think.
Oh, they're archival.
They're like,
oh, gotcha.
Like greatest hits kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, officially three studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, because stopping, you know, if she stopped her career in 79, and then picked it up in 2019, she waited 40 years.
Hasn't released anything yet, though, but it still says that she's active.
Yeah. So she waited 40 years to come out of hiding.
I am, like, mesmerized by the front and back cover of this record, just because the
looks...
oh,
they're so good. Yeah.
I also want to know what those things she's holding on the front cover are. They look like giant glass chopsticks, but I know that's not what they are.
It's probably some, like Afrofuturist shit, because that's kind of the stuff that she was into and what she, like... the costuming she wore was very Particularly this era had definitely some Afrofuturist elements to it.
Like the back cover has like a pharaoh, like a futuristic pharaoh vibe kind of going on.
Yeah.
I do really, listeners, if you know what those glass sticks she is holding are, please.
Please tell us.
Please tell us, because I'm very interested. Very, very interested. There are a few comments I have found on Rate Your Music and ourclassicgenius.com. One being that someone thinks he was a big freak. They like to imagine it being Miles Davis. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I think that's a common
thing. They want to believe.
And then Rate Your Music, our user Asdiv says, if Betty Davis was at Chernobyl, she would have stopped it.
I believe that.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
And just a lot of people saying, like, they say I'm different because I listen to this record.
Well, she honestly, like, she does not get enough recognition for who she was. On Spotify, she only has, like, 200,000 monthly listeners. And you compare to Miles, and it's like, let's check Miles. No. 2 million, like, listeners. Yeah.
Like, everything I've looked up, there's, like, not a lot out there about Betty Davis. Like, there is, but it's like there's not a lot of recognition, there's not a lot of saying, like, even Rate Your Music's, like, comments that aren't, like, reviews, there's only, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, 7 comments on the whole page, and that's, like, the least I've ever seen. But I do want to say there is this whole erotic story that someone wrote as a review for this record on Rate Your Music. I cannot read this for the radio, but
they wrote fanfic.
But you can read it for the web.
I could, but it's also really long, like like 3 mouse squeals down long.
That could be a Patreon exclusive.
It could be. Exclusive. I gotta...
Can you send it to me? I will read some excerpts.
I can read some excerpts.
Oh, okay.
I can read
Please
some excerpts.
Do.
Oh, let's see. They're talking to a therapist, like a couple's therapist. And the therapist asks, and when was the last time you were intimate with each other? About 2 months ago, answered Harold quickly. This was something he was quite pleased about. He knew they weren't regular, but he was at least able to say they had done it this year.
So somebody's just writing this in the comment section of a Betty Davis album.
Yeah, this is
amazing.
This is something.
This seems like something you should post on a forum and not on Rate Your Music.
Yeah, like, hold on, I need to get to the very important line. Okay, let's not get silly now. I can't read that name, said, waving his hands dismissively. Harold, now it's your turn. What are your deepest, dirtiest desires? Well, Harold began coyly. I've always thought it would be pretty sexy to get it on to They Say I'm Different by Betty Davis. An audible gasp arose from Martha and the therapist, and it silenced Harold.
I like this world where Betty Davis is controversial in the modern day. Because nowadays, like, I don't think she would be that controversial. I mean, like, what else? He was fairly controversial, but, like,
that was so dumb.
That was a graphic song. Like, nothing, like, Betty Davis songs couldn't compare, for sure. Like, in, like, What Us Pussy is a pretty graphic song.
Talk about that song for a second. That's one of the one times that, like, the non-censored version is way worse than this, like, the censored version is way worse than the non-censored version.
Yeah.
Because, like, instead of wet ass, they say wet and gushy, which is just way worse.
Ew.
To hear. Like, it's just so much.
Sounds
worse.
Like a fruit gusher.
Ew.
That is worse. The what?
Yeah, right?
That is worse. Oh, what the f? I haven't heard the censored version.
I'll send it to you later. It was. God.
My favorite rendition of that song is when Jack Black made a TikTok to it where he was wearing his Speedo.
What about the Ben Shapiro version?
I do love that Jack Black just kind of lost his mind during COVID and just recorded himself in a different Speedo dancing to something every day and blowing up fireworks.
Yeah.
I feel like he's always kind of been like that, though.
To finish the story of this erotic fiction real quick, the user's name is Ozzy Styles with a Z. And the first comment in the actual comment section is, Ozzy Styles definitely before his review was done.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's someone who didn't get their application to join Archive of Our Own approved. And they just couldn't wait anymore.
Oh man. Who? I want to talk to Ozzy Styles. If you're out there, please. Actually, I don't know if I want you to come on the pod.
Is it Ozzy like Australian? Or is it like Ozzy?
Like Ozzy Osbourne Ozzy.
Which makes me wonder, like, is it meant to be a crossover of some sort? Like, what other horny fanfic do they have?
I'm gonna look. I'm looking at their... Oh my god, they tell a story on every single review they do.
That's dedication.
Like, that is
like a
lot of
dedication. Fanfic story?
I don't know if it's fanfic, I respect that. But like, all their reviews are like several paragraphs long.
Yeah, that's a internet weirdo if we ever found one.
Yeah, that's an internet guy right there.
The question is like, I don't know whether it's a guy or a girl. I doubt it's a trans person. I feel like it's a like a cis person thing to do that.
No, I'm 100% certain this is a guy. This is like a guy someone made up in their head and then the internet willed them to exist. Anyway, let's leave that.
Yeah.
Leave that. I'm reading these. I'm like, this guy is too much for me.
Can you send these to me? I want to read them.
Yes, I will afterwards.
Thank you. Please do.
Mm-hmm. I think it sucks that we had to, like, talk about the fact that she dated Miles Davis, but it's also such a thing. I'm gonna keep this part in because, like, this is good, but, like, I don't know. I just think it says a lot when, like, the wife of, like, a famous musician is just equally as talented, but then, like, they get divorced and everyone forgets about the wife and just stays with the dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's classic music industry in general.
Mm-hmm. Especially since, like, such a brave, for the time, like, performer who was, like, not ashamed of, like, her performance or, like, sexuality in the slightest.
Yeah,
and,
she got banned from literally everything.
Yeah. Except in Europe. Europe loved her.
Yeah. Which makes sense because Europe always loved the controversial people. Which, mm-hmm. Europe was way more advanced than us and still is way more advanced. I mean,
I don't know if it's still more advanced.
I mean, yeah. Certain European countries.
Europe is not big on censorship, but Europe is also permanently stuck in 2005.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it.
I mean, it makes sense, too, also because Betty moved to London around 1971 after the divorce and, like, wrote music in the UK and, like, apparently wanted to record songs of Santana, which is, like...
That would have been really cool.
Yeah. And also was going to record music with Jimi Hendrix, but then Jimi Hendrix passed away in 1969, so...
Oh, that would have been killer, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been so good. That's tragic.
There was also a last fourth record that was, like, conceived and done and, like, had some studio sessions. And it was shelved by the record label and remained unreleased for 33 years. And it eventually was used for two bootleg records that came out in 1995 and 1996.
I love
which, I love bootlegs. I think they are such a fascinating... There's such a fascinating history there. Also, I'm still mad that my bootleg Misfits record, which was supposed to be worth $2,000, was just a really well-done fake. So, I haven't recovered from that. So, bootlegs are something I would love to talk about again some other day.
Yeah, we should do a mixed takes on bootlegs.
That would be good.
It's amazing how much bootlegs can be worth, too. Because, like, I've got a couple of Caius bootlegs that are worth, like a couple $100, and those are just the bootlegs.
I used to have this Nirvana bootleg of the Rome tour, which is the one that they opted to not release because there's a photo shoot of Kurt holding a gun, and it's kind of funny because in one of the recordings you can hear Kurt talking shit about bootleggers and he's like, turn your tape recorders off.
I wonder if he'd like seen the people like carrying the tape recorders.
I'm pro bootlegger.
I've seen people doing that at like bigger shows. Like I remember being in the Commodore Ballroom and I can't remember for who, but there was a guy in the back with a giant like foamy microphone in his hand holding it above the crowd, just recording into like a reel to reel.
I'm pro bootleg, that's awesome.
Also, I was wrong. In 2019, she released a song called A Little Bit Hot Tonight, which was her first new song in over 40 years.
I have not listened to that.
I haven't either, because I just learned it existed. But it wasn't performed by Betty. It was performed by Daniel Maggio, an ethnomusicologist.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting, because I've also never heard of an ethnomusicologist before.
Oh, I have. Musicologists are like, that's a dope-ass career. It's just really hard to make it in, because it's such a, like, limited job. But musicology is like a really freaking cool job because it's just like sociology but specifically about music.
Ethnomusicology is a study of music from the cultural and social aspects of the people who make it. That is cool as hell.
Yeah, very cool job. That's like dream job. Like that's dream job totally. That would have been so cool.
For speaking of people doing music studies, I just logged into my uni library account just so I could find this one paper that Wikipedia cited that's specifically talking about the intersections of race and gender and how that impacted her career.
Oh, that like specifically a paper about Betty Davis.
Yeah, and her relationship to the feminist movement at the time, specifically like the black feminist / womanist movements.
That's super cool. I'm so stoked because I'm actually cool event for me. I'm decided to go back to school in the fall, and one of the courses I'm going to be taking is it's a women's studies course specifically about women like feminist art and music in the 20th century. So I'm like
ooh. I'll send you the DOI for this. I will send you the APA citation. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
I'm really stoked on this course, so.
It's a good skim. I'll read it properly later, but it's a good skim.
Yeah, while you were gone, I was saying to Annie that it's a shame that we have to bring up Miles in this because, like, it's just another example of, like, a successful couple. Like, even, like, Kurt and Courtney. Like, Courtney's career got completely smushed because of being married to Kurt, and Betty Davis has obviously got smushed because of being married to Miles, and it's just it really sucks when there's these talented women who just happen to marry a famous man musician.
Yeah,
and like it seems to just be a continuous pattern that their art gets pushed underneath the success of their, you know, sucks.
Like I was reading this retrospective about like what she was doing in sort of her career hiatus and how she was kind of struggling with mental health, had like a circle of close friends living near her when she was living in this like seniors socialized housing in Pittsburgh, and just how she was struggling with mental health and kept it under wraps. And I think it's just interesting to think about how like there's still this sort of double standard today where black women in the public eye are kind of like not allowed to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Or
struggle with stuff because it's like not good representation, or like it's just kind of a dehumanizing thing where it's like, yeah, you're not allowed to admit you have problems or that you're imperfect.
Yeah,
I'm still skimming this paper. There's this quote that I found interesting where it says, speaking to an interview in 1975, Betty Davis explained, "Aretha Franklin is a singer. I consider myself more of a projector. I'm into sound, like I'll work my voice 1,000 different ways. I make my voice work with the rhythm track. Whatever I feel I'm getting from the rhythm track, I'll do it with my voice." And that kind of reminds me, it kind of reminds me of this quote that I'm trying to find right now from this collection of interviews with Billie Holiday that I read like a year ago, where she kind of said something similar where she's, hold on, it's almost loading. My browser's very slow right now. Yeah, so there's this interview with Billie Holiday where she says, "I don't think I'm singing. I feel like I'm playing a horn. I try to improvise like Les Young, like Louis Armstrong, or someone else I admire. What comes out is what I feel. I hate straight singing. I have to change a tune to my own way of doing it. That's all I know."
Yeah, those are very cool quotes. Really, it's really enlightening to, like, the power of a female musician, for sure.
Yeah.
Just really how they view their voice as an instrument.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it's like, viewing your voice as an instrument and complimenting the music behind the voice is like playing 4D chess in my mind.
Like, yeah.
But it's also pretty cool because it means you kind of, like, you see yourself as an equal to your backing band as well. Like, if you see your voice, you're, like, it's like, oh, I'm just playing another instrument. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas, you know, there's a lot of singers that get in their own heads and are like, oh, yeah, I'm obviously, like, the most important person in this band because I'm the front person.
My backup.
Yeah, like, these are my backing band. Like, this is my backing band. So, especially, like, I've mentioned this before, but, like, there's always one thing that makes me feel weird about, like, oh, like, it's, like, the name of the person and the, like, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I'm like, dude just really loves himself. like,
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Pardon?
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Not Alvin.
Like, bro, those are your brothers. Don't throw them under the bus. I feel like that draws back to what we were saying earlier about how the band's kind of minimal compared to a lot of other funk records of the time, but how they still, like, just really gel together. They're a really tight band. They just, you know, they're smooching.
Every part of every song is integral to the song.
Yeah.
Also, they're all incredibly good at what they do. Like, those bass lines are outstanding. The drums are just so tight. Like, it is a phenomenally put together record.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about what happened about, like, the boycotting and the banning on the radio.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm gonna read the line here from Wikipedia. Some of her shows were boycotted and her songs were not played on the radio due to pressure by religious groups and the NAACF, which I thought is very surprising.
Yeah.
Because the NAACF, or NAACP, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
National
Association of the Advancement
of
Colored People.
Yeah. Yeah, they're basically, it's primarily a black organization, but they are very traditionalist. So I think they were kind of opposed to, quote unquote, poor representation of black people. They're mm-hmm. a little bit more progressive now, but yeah, they were definitely like that in the past.
Kind of getting hit with all sides.
Yeah.
Just like getting pushed out by all sides.
Yeah.
Just because I know, like, after this week, our brains are a little fried. I think I have a quote from Carlos Santana that I think would be a good thing to end on today. Carlos Santana recalled Betty as indomitable. She couldn't be tamed, musically, philosophically, and physically. She was extreme and attractive. Like, just an incredible performer and artist all over.
Yeah, I've got massive respect for the woman. I think she's one of the coolest women in, definitely in the 70s, in 70s music history. Like, just really freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard this album before in my life, and thank you for bringing it into my life.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it's incredibly good, and to those of you out there who have made it this far through our heat-brained episode, please go listen to this record, because it's incredibly
I definitely have heat brain. I have post Pride Month brain.
I thought you said, like, pussed.
I definitely heard that.
Yeah, so I was like, well, that's something I'm gonna have to edit out. Damn it, Annie.
No, post Pride Month brain.
Pussed Pride Month brain. Definitely have, like, a melted brain day, but
yeah,
we. our words will not do this record justice. Please go listen to it for yourself.
What have you guys been listening to this week?
I've been on vacation the last week, and also, like, I got my job back, so I've been listening to a lot more music. And okay. I've been, I revisited Fall Out Boy.
Amazing.
Like, I listened to, like, I listened to, Take This to Your Grave. Okay. Take This to Your Grave, that's what it's called. And then I revisited From Under the Cork Tree. And I think that's their best one. I think we'll have to do an episode about it, because I know everyone really loves, like, Thanks for the Memories, but I don't think that one's as good. I don't think it's as good. And I have many takes about it. And I've still also been listening. Yeah. And I've also been listening, actually, Big Blue by Kylie V, which is...
Love that Kylie V.
Love Kylie V. Incredible stuff.
Love that Kylie V.
What have you been listening to, Tues?
I actually stopped at the record store today because I was having a bummer heat-fried day, and the record store is dangerously close to my house. It's a bit of a problem.
Audiopile's a good store.
It's so good, yeah. Yeah, it's two blocks away from me. Edit that out. Don't dox me.
I always find they're really great electronic stuff there.
Yeah.
Experimental. They're really good for that, so...
So I was trying to, like, beef up my Depeche Mode collection, because I was just having a day. Did not find the Depeche Mode albums I wanted, but I did find...
Guess what I found at Audiopile last time I went.
What did you found?
Speak Spell.
Well, someone bought it. Someone bought it, because it wasn't there. It wasn't there today.
I'm ahead of you.
But they did have Martin Gore's release from this year, which is an EP where he named all the songs after different types of primates. It's pretty chill.
Monkey.
Like, monkey. That's what I imagine. That's what I imagine Martin Gore was saying at Electric Lady Boy Studios, which is the name of his studio.
Lady Boy.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok once where all the Zoomers were like, it's Femboy Friday, post pics of Martin Gore. And I was like, that's what you should be doing.
Martin Gore stay winning.
Martin Gore do stay winning.
It's my boyfriend. Martin Gore's my boyfriend.
Come on the pod, Martin Gore.
Yeah.
Come talk to your partner. Yeah, I guess that's...
Oh, sorry, I forgot to say what I was listening to.
You don't get to say today, Annie. I was cutting you off.
I won't say that. I'll keep it a secret.
No, you gotta do it now. We made a thing about it. You gotta say it now. We also haven't done it for, like, the last three episodes, so...
This week I've been listening to Some Girls by the Rolling Stones. And I've been listening to the Tyler, the Creator album, Call Me If You Get Lost. People have been super hit or miss about it, but I really like it because it kind of goes back to his roots, and I've been listening to him since, like, 2011, and I loved his early stuff, so it does definitely go back to his roots.
And like, the more noisy kind of stuff?
Yeah. And one of the songs samples a Gravedigger song, which made me very happy.
Huh.
But also, lately I've actually been doing a little bit more reading, because I wanted to read for Pride Month. I was like, I'm going to educate myself this Pride Month. And, I'm still finishing a couple of books up, but, right now I'm reading Non-Binary by Genesis Peorage of Throbbing Gristle fame.
Ooh.
And it's just kind of about their experience, as it was kind of, you know, their last book, because they died in 2020. But, it's kind of a book about their experience with what they called I forget what the project was called. Let me find it here. It's a memoir, basically, but it's also kind of a discussion of, Jen's, transition, almost, because, Jen started transitioning officially with the Pandrogen Project in the mid-2000s, when, Jen's partner, Lady J, and Jen decided that they wanted to look the same. So they started going through multiple like surgeries and stuff like that just so they looked the same. And it's kind of this like super old school idea of non-binary because Jen was pretty old, right? You know, they started the career in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been kind of interesting. And I'm also reading this brand new book. These are both new books actually, but I've been reading this brand new book called Let the Record Show by Sarah Schulman. And it's a history of ACT UP New York. So it's basically a history of the AIDS crisis at the height of the AIDS crisis. And it's a brutal read. It's really sad. But it's really important part of queer history. And I can't recommend it enough. So that's kind of what I've been on this week. But
I actually found it looks older. It looks like an older publication. Just the book itself looks old.
Yeah.
I was just browsing at the central branch of the library because that's the cooling center for the city. And you don't have to pay money to stay there for hours. So I found this book called Women, AIDS, and Activism. I want to say Sarah Schulman contributed to it, but I might be making that up. But it looks like an older publication, which is going to be interesting, I think.
I'm
stoked to read
that
as well.
It's an ACT UP book. Like, it was published by ACT UP.
Oh, sick.
You want to know what I'm reading this week? I'm reading Chariot of the Gods?
Oh, interesting.
I like a question mark.
It's about, what if aliens came down when there were, like, old civilizations and were like, hey, you want us to make you a really cool rock?
That's dope.
It's basically just the origin of the ancient aliens theory. And it's
I was going to make an ancient aliens joke.
It's where ancient aliens comes from, and it's very funny. It's literally like, aliens came down and they showed us their rocks, and we thought they were cool, so they left us some.
Rocks.
And that's what I do when I meet people.
That's kind of what I do when I find a cool rock, to be fair. Like, if I found a cool rock on the beach, I'm like, I'm just gonna like take it.
See, the aliens came down and they're like, yo, we were like going through the desert and we found these big blocks and we stacked them in a triangle for you. Isn't that cool?
I would do that for you. I would stack some rocks in a triangle for you.
Yo, guys, we are on the other side of your planet. We found these really sick rocks. We stuck them in the ground so you could see them forever. Peace.
Humans have been stacking rocks for hundreds of thousands of years. And I still go to the beach and stack rocks. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably end this.
Yeah.
I'm Devlin Galloway. You can follow me at Devlin Galloway on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow this podcast at Music Is Good Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well. We will have our Patreon back up, hopefully, by the end of the week after I accidentally deleted it. So please look for that. We'll probably post it on stuff. I hate to accidentally click delete on things when I'm trying to change the user settings.
Classic blunder.
Oh, yeah. Classic internet blunder.
I'm Tuesday Ferguson. You can follow me at Mimichi on Instagram if you can guess how to spell it.
I'm Annie Nigren. You can find me at Tangy Teardrop on Instagram. And that's the only place you can find me because I'm secretive about everything else.
That's what it's all about, baby.
Privacy.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.